is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Welcome back. Final hour. Sam Amy will join us in just a moment.
We think.
I mean, he said so last night, but, you know.
Sources close to Sam.
Let's see who's closer to Sam now. Carmichael Dave, Giannis Antetokounmpo, please.
Can't wait to pitch our sitcom to him. I even have the music ready.
Oh, do you?
Oh, I do.
Let me clean up some on the text line, 916-339-1140. From the 530. They're at, in response to our conversation about Damian Lillard coming to the Kings. There have to be steps in this process. This would be one of the dominoes. You have to be open-minded to stuff like this to make the team better.
Agreed.
And I agree with that. And we're open-minded to it. It just makes no sense. And I don't want to do the sports radio thing where we tease things and create these narratives to... I care more about the fans than I do ratings.
But we didn't create the narrative.
No, I know, but I don't want to push it. Like, listen, if it were to happen, we'd all be blown away. I'm not getting people's hopes up when I see no logic in the situation. I don't see...
Well, there is logic in the situation.
No,
that's not fair.
The Kings aren't going to trade Fox and Halliburton, but you and I both said, well, let's
not
take
the combination.
Let's take that off the table and say they would trade De'Aaron Fox, which they won't, but let's say that they would. Damian Lillard would never be okay with this, and you say, well, he'd be forced to. He's stepping down from a situation that's far better in Portland than here. And the whole reason he wants to leave Portland, if he even wants to leave Portland, is to have a better chance at winning a title. We can purple glasses this thing all we want and try to justify and rationalize. It makes no sense.
It's not really purple glassesing it, though, when you look at it from just the perspective of, okay, is there a package that could get it done? Yes. All we're doing is taking a report by a very prominent national writer, deciphering it, essentially, and moving on. I don't really think it's creating false hope when you actually discuss it the way it was discussed.
I don't think we were. That's what I was saying. We discussed it in a way that pretty much we're trying to shut it down. We're not discussing it in a way like, well, I don't know. It's something to keep an eye on. We'll follow. I mean, you might be.
My eye is just on the fact of, again, this is the second star that is quote-unquote available.
And we both agree that the Kings – kicking tires on both Ben Simmons and De'Aaron Fox is fun and awesome, and I love that Monty and friends are active. That's great.
I agree with you. I'm just saying I don't think they're just kind of kicking the tires. I do think they are really actually trying to figure out, like, okay, what do they want, and are we bold enough to match it?
Well, yeah, I think part of that is Monty calls Neil Olshey, for example, and says, hey, can we put a package together that doesn't involve De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton? Would you be interested? And why the heck would they do that anyways? By the way, also, stars almost never get traded within division, much less within conference. Or I should have said that the other way around. It just doesn't have you don't – give me the last big trade that happened within the same – well, I wouldn't say conference because Anthony Davis. But why would Portland possibly – even look at this. You telling me Daryl Morey can't send Ben Simmons and whatever over? And that's a far better fit for Dame Lillard going to Philadelphia. That's a separate conference, number one. And number two, it fits what he's looking for, a team that is closer to a championship. And Dame Lillard and Joel Embiid and friends, that makes sense. Dame Lillard coming to Sacramento, it's like, I don't know, we're like a bunch of... I don't know what the stupid analogy is.
Sorry, I was on the phone. So you're saying Dame is coming to Sacramento.
Yeah,
That's what I got.
I'm saying that I have a better chance of suiting up at the end of the bench for the Kings next year.
See, that's where we're going to disagree.
I mean, that's fine. You can disagree all you want. I'm right on this one. And if Dame Lillard gets traded here, I'll do that. It's not happening.
You realize you've just said you're more likely to suit up than Dame Lillard is in Sacramento and the A staying in Oakland. That's...
Yeah, he's not coming.
You got some confidence in your game there, bud.
He's not coming to Sacramento.
Well, neither are you, though.
I'm in Sacramento, Holmes.
Nope.
Joining us right now from The Athletic.
I told him we're going to be pitching a sitcom to him, by the way.
Can we not do the music, though?
Oh,
I'll tell you later why. I have a reason. Trust me.
You suck.
From The Athletic, athletic.com. Giannis Antetokounmpo's best friend. The one, the only, Sam Amick. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, gentlemen.
I mean, really, it's fun to see. We played a clip this morning. I didn't even know it was you. And it's a Q&A that the National Service kind of gave us. And, hey, look, there's Sam again, asking the questions. You have become, once upon a time, I called you the Kevin Durant whisperer. You have become the Giannis whisperer. And I got to ask you, what was the foundation for this lovely friendship that I'm sure is making you incredibly uncomfortable to talk about? Was this before the hotel room incident, hotel key incident, or was that really the launch of the whole thing?
Well, first of all, the Kevin Durant days are certainly over, so I was on the lookout for
right.
a new warm and fuzzy NBA superstar.
Right.
I mean, yeah, like the hotel lobby thing, in terms of, you know, reconnecting with somebody, but I mean, he's a guy that I hadn't interfaced with that much at all, just because of geography and me being West Coast. And in that same exchange, and this was not in the story, the one in the hotel lobby, and this was impressive from a memory standpoint. When I first said hello to him, and this will tell you like how, no, he's not a guy that could even barely remember who I was. I said hello as he was talking to the front desk worker and had said, hey, you know, Sam Amick, the Athletic. And he sat there processing, and he pointed at me, and he goes, ah, Sacramento.
Ha.
And he goes, we had a one-on-one interview, like a brief, you know, 5 minutes, in Sacramento in 2019, I guess it would have been. What's funny about that is, like, I was around him in the bubble, but, you know, it was just a different environment. So, yeah, like, I mean, it wasn't much of a connection until then, and then he's honestly been a delight ever since. It's been a lot of fun doing these touches with him.
Sam Amick from The Athletic. Sam, you know, a lot made of that relationship, but let's just focus on the NBA Finals real quick.
Wow.
Bucks are in Milwaukee. It's Game 6. Do Phoenix and Chris Paul have enough in them that you think that we're going to be pushing for a Game 7?
My family hates for me to say it, but I think the answer is probably yes. And I say that just as a guy who's a little road weary at this point, and I should not complain ever about covering the NBA Finals, but I think we could be headed to Game 7. It's always hard mentally for the home team to close out, especially with this kind of history. You know, it's been 50 years since they won their only title, you know, 47 since they were in the finals. And so you have, like, this mental thing where the media has been asking the Bucks for 2 days now about, you know, what's it going to feel like when you win? And it puts them in a tricky spot that I think does make them a little vulnerable to just getting boat race on their own home floor. And I think the Suns, you know, to whatever degree we can get a sense of the locker room, since we're not back in the locker room yet, I do like what I'm hearing out of their camp. I asked Monty Williams yesterday about the fact that, you know, entering Game 5, he had given his whole team a speech saying that, hey, you put yourself in this position. And he says, I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm saying you know, 2-2, chance to go 3-2. You did this. Now take advantage of it. I said, well, how do you convey that message again, since, you know, you guys couldn't get the job done in Game 5? And he had nothing but, like, really positive things to say about the way his team has moved in the past couple of days. So all of which is to say, I could see it. This series is really tight. You guys have seen, like, it's a handful of plays that have turned things in the direction they've gone in. And I could see Phoenix winning.
Sam Amick of The Athletic, heroically covering the NBA Finals, and we appreciate that, joining us on the program. Sam, so what happened? You know, we had a lot of fun last week saying nobody has seized control of the Finals. Phoenix won two at home. Milwaukee won two at home. The home team's got to lose, blah, blah, blah. Well, Milwaukee has certainly seized control of the Finals. They have momentum. They have won three straight. And yeah, you had one close game and one blowout in games 1 and 2 in Phoenix. But is there something you can point to that Milwaukee figured out between games 2 and 3, and or that Phoenix hasn't figured out, has dropped off since games 2 and 3, to create the success for the Bucks?
To me, the most obvious one would be the Drew Holiday defense and what they've done with Chris Paul. You know, it's funny because going into, I think, game two, Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer was asked about his father, who's a legendary high school coach outside of Phoenix, and I believe on an Indian reservation for most of his career, and had this team full of, you know, 5'11" boys, you know, year in, year out, that would full court press all the time. That's what they did. So the joke going into game two was that Bud's dad apparently had texted him or called him and said, you know, hey, you know, I need to see some full court press. Well, it was a, you know, lighthearted moment then, but then next thing you know, Drew Holiday is taking Chris Paul up, not 94 feet, but about 75 feet, and turning him over, and he's got his back to the basket when he's not even across half court. And then the Suns tried to counter. They would run, you know, a lot of times DeAndre Ayton with this kind of moving screen type action all the way down the floor where he would trail with Chris. But, I mean, it was just, you know, it's just like trying to get a gnat off of you, but a really muscular, like, physical version of that with Drew Holiday, who, like somebody said the other day, one of the players, he's built like a linebacker. So Chris Paul's down, you know, kind of decline in this series, I think, is the biggest thing, because the ripple effect there has been, yeah, Devin Booker's been spectacular, but it's not Phoenix Suns basketball. It's, they're not doing what they need to do to win the series because it's too much Devin, not enough everybody else.
Sam Mamick from The Athletic joining us this morning. Sam, the Kings were one of five teams mentioned in a report by The Ringer this morning to be aggressively pursuing Dame Lillard. We obviously know their name's been attached to Ben Simmons. Are you, we've all been trying to figure out the Monty McNair front office now for about a year, but is it starting to get at least jiving with the idea that if there's a star available, the Kings are going to be constantly in the mix when these guys' names pop up?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I was actually listening to the show about an hour ago as I was getting ready and heard you guys get into that a little bit. And I think I don't have any, on this one, I don't have any insider knowledge beyond the fact that, as you guys know, it's like Monty's kind of ethos and his background in Houston and everything we learned about the way that you know, one of his mentors, Daryl Morey, moved was that, yeah, you, when there's a star available, even if it's an imperfect fit, you know, and the thing with Damian, of course, would be that age-wise, you know, he's not really on track with some of your young guys. What are you giving up to get him? You know, certainly you would imagine Fox would be headed out in that deal. But yes, the general idea that Monty is going to push hard for any star that's available shouldn't shock anybody just because they don't become available often.
Sam Amick with us, just bouncing around here. And I don't necessarily like having you, especially in the middle of the finals, having you comment on trade reports, other than, like Jay kind of put, the philosophy. Do you get a sense, that this is going to be an abnormally busy offseason? I mean, we're talking about Lillard. We're talking about Ben Simmons, really a lot more than Damian Lillard as far as moving goes. And either the Bucks or the Suns are going to be your NBA champions. Is your sense that teams like the Nets, teams like the Lakers, those established teams that got bit by injury bugs, that they're going to be overly hungry? Or is your sense that they're both sitting back going, we got what we got, we'll try to add around the edges, but it was injuries that killed us more than anything, we're going to be patient?
I would probably handicap the Nets as patient. Because they just had an absurdly, you know, just not, you know, incessant injury problem. The Lakers are, I think, in some version of desperation mode. For one, they've got stuff to handle. Dennis Schroeder's a free agent. That's a big piece that didn't always fit perfectly, but, you know, you don't want to lose that kind of a piece. But they also didn't want to pay him $20+ million, and then he did not have a good finish to the season at all. So beyond that, though, I mean, the Lillard thing, if it does, to be clear, I used the word available earlier. You know, the Blazers to this point are not signaling that he's available. But if he was, the Lakers, I do believe, would be pushing as hard as anybody. They are in that. I mean, you got to remember, they thought they had Kawhi Leonard, you know, back in free agency. And they had figured out their books enough that it was going to be LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi. And you know, right now you look at it, they don't have the pieces that make it easy to pull off a Lillard trade. And a lot of times you look at it and say, I don't get how they could do it, but they would try. So they're going to be, I think, you know, more proactive and trying to upgrade the roster than the Nets will.
You know, I don't know why it got in my head what you were talking about, but just kind of switching again here, Sam. We were talking earlier this week. A guy with a book coming out was talking about the Nets. You mentioned the Nets. And they were talking about the allegation that players' girlfriends were getting houses paid for them along with other extracurricular things. Now, I'd never ask you to go on record and name names and name teams, but this goes back to a longstanding conversation you and I have had both about the media and what's not reported and about extracurricular salary cap circumvention. You have a great pulse for how things work, and I am curious, do you think we're on the verge finally of getting some real dirt when it comes to CBA circumventions that many teams are likely doing, or is this just, again, another one of the waves we've seen before that comes and goes?
I think I know what you mean. Certainly, kind of memories of Uncle Dennis, Kawhi's agent and stuff I wrote about his essentially attempts at salary cap circumvention. Now, that wasn't publicly proven. I shouldn't even say publicly. I don't know if it was ever privately proven. Sorry, the Bucks train is honking as it rolls by here.
That was nice.
You guys are probably seeing it on social media. It's a big old white Suburban with a massive deer on the hood.
It was probably Giannis that saw you and honked the horn to say hello.
Right, I'm sure.
See, there you go.
He's probably resting up at the moment. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. You hear snips of it here and there, but it never truly comes all the way to light. So I don't know what the – and I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on the author that you're talking about that you guys interviewed.
Right.
But I do know the book you're talking about. But I guess my answer would be no, because honestly I feel like I've been a little bit of a lone wolf out here occasionally writing stuff that comes even within a million miles of reporting that kind of stuff. But it, admittedly, it's been challenging to get the kind of clarity where you're taking it to the next step and saying, yes, this happened and I can prove it. And that's where, I don't know. I don't have a clear view of that picture within the league.
It was Matt Sullivan, Can't Knock the Hustle. He said on the Dan Le Batard show, that's what I'm referring to. And again, I don't even know what the thirst is for this now, and again, I never speak for you. I'll speak for me on this, but we talked a couple days ago when we were talking about this, we talked about everything from the small stuff, an NBA player using the team plane to fly himself and his family around for a dollar, or, to the big stuff like girlfriends and houses, off-court investments made and promised by owners of teams to free agents, to fines being reimbursed, to shoe companies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you, because you're right, Sam, you're one of the few people in media that has actually stuck his nose into a little bit of that, and it's tough to get a response for obvious reasons. But do you think from the public, do you think that there is an appetite to find out the answer to a lot of those questions, or do you think that's a lot of inside baseball with guys like us?
I mean, my only pulse there would be, when I wrote the story about a lot of the requests that Kawhi's uncle made of the Lakers and then presumably other teams during free agency, in terms of interest, that story went bonkers. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of moving the needle. So I think the interest is there. And I think part of my personality that a lot of people can relate to and are similar is, I think in general, people don't like to exist in a world where we all run around like lemmings, just enjoying a product and then being naive to all the, whatever underbelly there is that doesn't get exposed. So I think the interest is there. But you end up, full disclosure, it's like, listen, I'm good at my job, but I didn't come up as a business reporter, meaning, you know, I don't have necessarily the skills to chase down a real estate transaction that might look shady and might have the wrong name on it and might be a smoking gun for an NBA player. A lot of times I do run into walls from a reporting standpoint where I just can't get where I want to go, if that makes sense. So, but yeah, I think the interest is there for sure.
Yeah, but and also, and I say this knowing you have the most integrity and you do your job and have and would and have in the past hurt relationships in the idea and goal of reporting things. But let's not push it aside. There are some people out there that if certain media members reported certain things they heard or knew about, those media members would lose access to those players and or those teams. And that's real currency right now. Not you necessarily, Sam, at the level you're at, but for a lot of people that might dig, unless I'm tinfoil hatting here, yeah. That's got to play into the whole thing.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, without getting into it, I mean, we had some stuff this week at our place where it's like, you know, very, very somewhat innocuous details that we were trying to confirm about a situation. And it blew my mind why the team was being so difficult and not only being difficult, but responding with the kind of like, you know, tisk, tisk. Hey, you're not playing by the word that bothered me was protocol. It was like, I'm sorry. There's not a protocol that, you know, to how this works, you know? So yeah, the we are in control of access element being hung over the heads of reporters is an extremely real element.
Well, for your family's sake, I hope the Bucks win tonight. For the rest of the world's sake, I hope we see a game 7. But I also hope that you find air conditioning and stay in it because Phoenix is a hellhole this time of year. But I'm excited. Look at you. You are sacrificing. You're dedicated. And dang it, you are covering game 6 of the NBA Finals, Sam. And I just want to I want to thank you for your service, my friend.
You give me a hard time.
Have fun. Have a safe flight home. And hey, seriously, we said this yesterday as a compliment to you, Sam. Journalists at their best set the ball in volleyball for athletes to spike it. And athletes don't always spike it, but occasionally they do. And you have been a heck of a setter in this post game for what I think is the best personality and the most perfect superstar the NBA has seen in a long time. So kudos, my friend. Well done.
I appreciated the hard-hitting journalism that had Giannis Antetokounmpo talking about Adele. I'm glad I could be of service.
That's why we're here. That's why you make the big bucks, my man. TheAthletic.com, where you can read Sam and so many other people we speak to on a regular basis. But don't tell anyone. Sam might be your favorite. Joins us each and every Thursday. He's on today because, you know, he didn't care about us last Thursday. And we will have a post-finals wrap-up perhaps with him later in the week. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Be good.
Take care, you too. That's Sam Amick. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice! Coming up next.
Jay Mars is a consistent professional dressing for radio. I mean, it sounds like a compliment, but I actually think it's an insult. Coming up next. Once in a blue moon with the aforementioned Jay Mars, Chris Paul could do something that has never been done before in the history of the NBA tonight. Jay will tell you what next.
One is bald, the other completely lacks talent. And they're both here to entertain you. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
Conversation down the hall about full auto drive. We were talking about the new Teslas.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of came to the conclusion, I want to see if you agree. So the new Tesla P100 with ludicrous mode and all that, it's not a steering wheel.
Ludicrous? Like, please
as
tell
in
me
Spaceballs.
You, tell me that you being funny and they didn't, that's not an actual thing, because
oh, it's 100% a real thing.
Elon Musk decided to
they
make
ludicrous mode. God. He talked about plaid mode as well. No, that's really, it's a Spaceballs.
I thought you were making a Spaceballs joke.
Nope. So they have this new car out, and it is the fastest production car ever made, ever made. And we started talking about full auto drive. And so, again, the steer, it's not a steering wheel, Jay. It's like a, think like an airplane. Like, did you ever play the Star Wars video game with the, okay, that's the steering wheel now. That
I'm surprised you haven't bought that, by the way.
Well, it's currently...
No, the Star Wars game, not Tesla.
Oh, no, you're right. And you know what? Honestly, dude, I don't know what's holding me up, but other than that, I know I would play it solid for a week.
And then be done.
Exactly. Anyways, this new car. So my car, for example, goes 0 to 60 in just under 3 seconds. It's a bat out of hell. It's super fast. This one goes 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds.
1.21 seconds.
It's insane. So, anyways, the conversation we were having, and I'm just real quick curious what you think. The reason why they put that steering wheel on there, other than that it looks awesome, is that eventually they want people to get used to a lesser wheel, because they'll eventually be able to, you'll retract the wheel when you have full auto drive. And the conclusion we came to is guys like Pat, myself, Tom, and probably you even, we're never going to be cool with full auto drive.
Right.
Just because we don't want to hand that control over. But Isaiah and Avery and Mason, they're going to live in a world where the bulk of their life, probably at least half of their driving life, is going to be full auto drive.
For my kid, that's not the bad worst thing.
No. You ever see the movie Free Jack with Emilio Estevez? Of course you didn't. Anyways.
I have seen all three Mighty Ducks movies with Emilio Estevez.
Of course you have. In our lifetime, you're going to hop into a car.
And the new Disney Plus show.
You'll hop into your car. You'll say, take me to work. And or if it's on Sunday, you'll hop in the special hosier model and say, take me to church.
God, how did that was predictable.
Coming. And your windshield will now turn into a television screen, and you'll just lay back, watch TV while you are driven to work by your vehicle. Would you be okay with that?
Sometimes. To your point, there's other times I'm going to want to drive. As a man, I need my control.
You want to. I'm just wondering if you would be able to get into a full auto drive vehicle by yourself in your lifetime and fully hand the reins over to the computer.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I need the optionality. Is that a word?
No.
Can we make it one?
No, but I can tell you right now, mine has the most mostly auto drive I can do on the freeway where it'll steer and brake and all that. And even then,
Are you scared?
This is going to sound really bad because I'm a very good driver, I'd like to think. I pay more attention when it's on autopilot.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would probably do the same thing.
I, you know what I mean?
I would do the same
thing. I am hyper aware when it's on autopilot, and I don't know that I could ever get used to it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I need the option.
Yeah.
Also, Once in a Blue Moon coming up right here. You gave it a great tease.
Thank you.
That Chris Paul could do something that no one's ever done before. At the end of Blue Moon, I'm going to guarantee you why it's going to happen.
Oh, let's do that right now.
Once
in a Blue Moon with Jay Mars.
Once in a Blue Moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Chris Paul is on the verge of becoming the first player to lose four best of seven series in which his team led 2-0. The only other player with three best of seven series losses in which his team led 2-0 is former teammate Blake Griffin. Now, like I said, I guarantee this is going to happen tonight. I guarantee a Bucks win.
Oh, real? Oh, breaking news.
Do you want to know why?
How bad would that be if I was like, nah, let's move on? Of course I want to know why.
When Chris Paul walks on the floor tonight, who do you think he's going to see on the floor with him that stands in the way the most of him winning the NBA title? You think it's Giannis?
Yeah.
Maybe Chris Middleton?
Maybe Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday. Sure. It's none of them. Hmm? None of those three guys.
Who is it? Who is it, I say?
Did you look at who's officiating tonight's game six?
Oh, Scott Foster.
Scott Foster. And what is it? Chris Paul is 0-12.
Something goofy.
In playoff games that Scott Foster has officiated?
Well, you know what? Streaks are made to be broken. Right?
Good job. Good take.
Streaks are made to be broken.
I don't know if this one is.
No. I got a weird feeling the Suns win tonight.
I did too until I saw that Scott Foster was officiating.
Aren't we rooting for the Suns to win?
Yeah, tonight? I want Game 7.
Because wouldn't a Game 7 in Phoenix be just awesome?
Yeah, it also keeps us, it gives us another story to talk about.
Well, that's a good point. Also,
when you get into this job, what I've learned is you root for every series to go 7 games.
Of course you do. Shohei Ohtani's had a great 48 hours. He's had a heck of a week. He hit his major league leading 34th home run on Sunday. He pitched 6 shutout innings last night. And this morning, he signed an exclusive multi-year memorabilia deal with Fanatics, widening his gap as baseball's highest paid endorser. Should I say highest earning endorsement player? Just to put it in perspective, Jay, Shohei Ohtani accounted for 28% of all 2021 All-Star Game merchandise sales by himself. Fanatics started selling Ohtani memorabilia last week. Not only did he quickly become baseball's number one athlete on the site, but his sales outrank the number two baseball player by a factor of 10. 10. Since July 1st, in memorabilia and merchandise, Shohei Ohtani is the top-selling athlete on Fanatics across all sports, which includes hundreds, obviously, of professional and collegiate teams. The problem is he needs a translator, Jay.
I know. He's just not marketable. And that's unfortunate.
Right. And for me, I just can't wear the jersey. I can't. I mean, how could you be a fan of Shohei? Stephen A. Smith was right. He needs a translator. He's not going to be marketable.
As much as we like to have fun with that awful take, I did not think in 2021 you would be telling me the guy selling the most merchandise on Fanatics,
right,
which is one of the biggest merchandisers, for lack of a better word, sure, in the world,
yeah,
would be a baseball player. A major league baseball player.
Imagine how big he'd be if baseball knew how to market their players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even like a little bit, right?
I got to stop the fun.
Oh.
I got breaking news from the NFL.
Oh, I saw this. Ah, this is bad. This but is...
Boy, with camps getting ready to open up, horrific news for the LA Rams, and I would say for the NFL in general. And I'm super listen, I'm a Niner fan, and I know there's a lot of Niner fans that'll secretly be celebrating this because they're sick, A, and B, because they hate the Rams. But I watched this kid at Florida State. Cam Akers is expected to miss the entire 2021 season after rupturing his Achilles while working out. This is according to Adam Schefter. The Rams have not formally announced this. 13 games, he had 625 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 145 carries. That doesn't sound like much, but Cam was down on the depth chart. He came up strong towards the end of the year. And plus, he also had a rib injury. He hurt his ankle last year. In both playoff games, he averaged just under 5 yards a carry and 110. That obviously, it's a huge loss for the Rams. But golly, 22 years old. And I love Cam Akers. I loved him at FSU. I hated that he went to the Rams, but secretly rooting for him to have 300 yards a game and the Rams to lose by 2. I hate injuries. I think they should be outlawed. I think Congress should pass a rule. Injuries should be felonies. Ban injuries. Just ban them.
Hey, and you call your local congressperson today and you let them know Carmichael Dave sent you. That's how the spot ends.
Also, on a brighter note, when it comes to NFL running backs, I was looking at some old footage last night. I know I've said this before, Jay, but as we break, I cannot tell you how excited I am to see Trey Sermon play for the Niners this year. Get ready, dude. Just get ready. I'm telling you, dude.
If you do it, do not even think
about
it.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, get ready. This kid's going to be really good.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people are sleeping on him.
Mm-hmm.
They're 100% sleeping on him.
Don't you dare.
What?
You know what, and don't do it.
What? Trey Sermon's going to play on Sundays? What? I don't understand what you're doing. I'm lost here. Tell me what you're doing.
If you're actually lost, good. No. Keep circling.
Jay, tell me. Preach to me. What are you doing? What are you referencing?
Preach to you. I hate you so much.
Oh, boy. Trey Sermon. in session every Sunday, coming soon to a football field near you. Hey, speaking of Sundays, whether it's Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it doesn't matter the day of the week, Hoblett's got you covered. They've got you covered in the Dodge Summer Sales Event. Let's spotlight those Rams up to $5,000 off MSRP on the new 2021 Ram 1500 Big Horns Laramies, $3,500 off MSRP on the new 2021 Ram 3500. So listen, 2.4% financing, which is ridiculously low right there as it is, for 84 months, 7 years. 7 years. You want selection, you want the right color, you want the right interior, you want the right color to go with the right interior. Well, Hoblett has a top 10 biggest selection of HD Rams in all of California. And by top 10, I mean number one, the largest selection of HD Rams in California, over 300 of all sizes available. Where do they put them all? Jeez. Well, I know where they put them all. I've seen it before. It's a huge place. Number three Ram dealer in all of America. No hassle, no pressure ever at Hoblett. Best prices, best selection, period.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, what's on tap? We'll let you know what's going on today. Big games in Oakland, a bigger game in Los Angeles with the Giants, even bigger game in Milwaukee. We'll tell you who's favored in that one. Oh, and the biggest thing of all today, a vote at a city council. We'll wrap all that up right after this.
Yeah, let's go, come on!
Uh-huh.
If what's on tap, here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Dame Time!
Dame Time, PST, Portland Standard Time, because that's where he is, and that's almost certainly where he'll remain.
Wow.
That guy on Twitter.
Just end it there.
End it there. You know, it's like, why are you guys spending any time on this? Because, well, at least on my end, trying to shut it down. Jay's a little more open. Trying to just shut it down because that's where we are as Kings fans. We are crawling through the desert of failure and have for so long that we see mirages. Mirages are everywhere. You believe in it. You want it to happen so much that you convince yourself. This is a mirage. That's it. There's nothing to it.
There's the other side of that mirage, though, too, dare I say. It's every time the Kings are linked to someone, oh, I wouldn't trade this or that for that. It's like, yo, this teammate made the playoffs in 15 years, and yet we're over here like protecting non-all-stars like they're just these untouchable assets, and that just kills me. It kills me that you can't even have the conversation.
I mean, listen, in my case, I always say nobody's untradeable, nobody's untouchable.
Sure.
And like you just said, there are no all-stars on this Kings team, not right now. But based on what we hear out of the front office, and just to me, the Lillard trade doesn't work. Simply based on what it's going to or not going to do.
And that is perfectly fine. I am totally okay with that. What I'm not okay with the idea, it's like every single time. Mm-hmm. Dude, if they're going to be mentioned in any sort of trade talk with a star player,
right,
you're not going to trade, you know, filler and 2 second round picks for them.
Well,
you have to get
right
used to the idea that if they're attached to an all-star by name in these reports, that one or two of their better players and a plethora of picks are going to likely go if they ever decided to pull the trigger.
Well, and that's why, you know, every team overvalues their players. Every team overvalues their players.
Not like Sacramento. Sacramento's different.
And the idea, we talked about this last night a little bit. In almost every transaction in the history of the NBA, the team that is acquiring the best player in the transaction wins the transaction. Time after time after time. Bill Simmons used to call it the poo-poo platter.
It is.
Time after time, the team that's sending off, you know, a good player, some rotation players, and a bunch of draft picks for a superstar, they win with the superstar. That's who wins. So
I can literally think of one scenario in the last 15 years where that didn't work.
Which was?
Carmelo in Denver.
Sure.
Got better. That's the, to me, that was the one outlier.
And with Kings fans, every year this gets done. This year, the poo-poo platter du jour is, hey, we'll take Simmons. Let's do Buddy or Barnes. Buddy, Bagley, and the number 9. That should get it. No, that trade package is not valued to others as much as it's valued to you.
You know what that gets? That gets Monty sending that. Let's say he sends that to Daryl Morey in a text,
yeah,
right?
That gets an LOL.
It doesn't even get an LOL. Nah. You get the ha-ha thing back acknowledging. you don't even get the dignity of an LOL.
You think if he got back one of those little acknowledgement emojis from Daryl Morey, but it was a thumbs up, do you think Monty thinks that the deal's done?
No. I think he knows Daryl well enough to know.
Yeah, it doesn't have that value. Same thing with the whole Dame thing. Like Jay said, I can go as far as saying, hey, I'm happy that they're in conversations. I'm happy that they're kicking tires. That's it. Later today, in fact, very soon from now, the Oakland City Council will be voting as to basically voting whether or not to either tell the A's goodbye or
go to extra innings.
Go to extra innings. Also, a lot of stuff going on. By the way, we didn't mention at all, Mark Bedain, the president of the Raiders, resigned yesterday after 30 years with the ball club. That's, you know, I mean, 30 years is a long time.
Yeah.
I forget whoever reported it from the LA Times, I forget the name, said that he abruptly resigned. And I was like, can you slowly resign? Like, is there
anything that has to do with the Raiders organization that's not abrupt?
Yeah.
I feel like that just kind of goes hand in hand.
We got great baseball today and tonight. We'll go
depends
with that
on your outlook.
Well, daytime baseball today, 12:37, Angels and A's. And by then, we will know the fate of the A's or the extension of the fate of the A's. Jose Suarez on the mound versus James Caprillion for the A's. 2.90 ERA for Caprillion. It's not bad. Giants and Dodgers, game 2 of the 4-game series. Alex Wood taking on undecided. It says undecided so far.
Undecided, yeah, we talked about some of the struggles with the Dodgers earlier, and undecided's been a big part of that.
Been tough for you this year.
Yeah, it's one of those situations they need to address at the deadline, whether or not they feel comfortable rolling with undecided in the rotation. But
7-10 first pitch for the Dodgers victory tonight.
Wow, what a pessimistic Pam you've turned into.
Pessimistic Pam? Yeah. Is that a thing?
Yes.
6 o'clock tonight, of course, the marquee matchup. Marquee game, marquee sporting event, Suns-Bucks. Suns-Bucks, where this team is favored. By how much?
Milwaukee by 1.5.
Milwaukee is favored by 5.
Points?
No, rebounds, dude. Yes, points. Yes, points. Right?
If I were a betting man, which I am not, I may lay down a couple... I may lay down a couple bucks on the Suns.
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm a Suns fan tonight just because I want a game 7. But yeah, if the Bucks win, I won't be mad. I'll be super happy.
Either way, we get a decent result.
Do we have a crossover?
We does.
Let's cross over.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
All right, guys. Today for the crossover, Doug, you and I on Monday's show, we are watching the basketball tournament, TBT.
TBT.
And one of the cool things besides, you know, winner take all playing for $1 million, but they have that Elam ending.
Yes, they do. Meaning that once they get down to a certain time, they put a number up. First team to that number wins. So that leads us to our question, gentlemen.
Yeah, of all the sports that are out there right now, which sport would benefit the most with a defined ending like that? Take the clock out, take all that out. Which one would benefit the most?
Yeah, let us know. Elam in the hoo.
Basketball.
Baseball.
Well, baseball's already done enough where extra innings, you get a man on second.
But this doesn't. This probably gets rid of extra innings.
But with basketball, I'd love to see.
Actually, I take that back. You're right. I'm sorry. Baseball would actually be awful for the Elam ending.
What Adam Silver should do is institute the Elam ending in the play-in tournament. If you're going to have the play-in tournament, that's where you do experiments. So just put it for that. Just to see how it works in real time, in real action. The play-in tournament already barely exists anyway.
Can I tell you how it would work out?
Yeah.
The teams that win would be super ecstatic about it, and the teams that didn't win would complain mercilessly.
I mean, I guess, but nobody cares because what would the fans think? I think the fans would love it.
I think the fans of the teams that won would be all about it. The fans of the teams that lost would hate every minute of it.
I mean, imagine it, imagine the number is 90 points and it's, you know, whatever, 81 to 70. And then you see this massive 19-9 comeback. You've got, I mean, imagine the just having regular, everything's a walk-off. Every game with the Neil, I mean, it's got a walk-off. That's unbelievable. I really think there's potential to that. And I really, basketball now has the ability to take something that didn't exist 2 years ago, and that's the play-in tournament. And that's where you do these experiments. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think basketball is probably the most. I just, now that I'm thinking about it, like if you set a score in baseball, you're right, that could go on forever if you have some good pitching.
That could go on forever.
You would devastate rotations and bullpens.
Right. Now, yeah, because nobody can get to six.
And I just can't imagine.
25th inning.
And in football, too, like, eesh. You can't extend that game anymore.
No. God, though. Somebody gets hurt. Now you're really screwed because it goes forever because nobody can score now. It changes. No, it's basketball. No.
I know this isn't a perfect comparison, but is soccer kind of the closest thing we have to that with extended time and stuff like that? Again, I know it's very imperfect.
Yeah, well, except no, it isn't perfect, but I understand what you're saying because in extended time, still the score holds up. Crossover question for Jason and Doug and the rest of the crew. Hello. You'll remember last week with Space Jam coming out, we asked you, is Bugs Bunny and also are the Looney Tunes washed? Let's stay on that wavelength. With the Olympics possibly coming up, are the Olympics washed? And what I mean by that, guys, are you as excited about the Olympics over the last couple as you used to be? Same, more, less. Have a great show. For Jay, for Sam Amick, for all of you, I am Carmichael Dave. We will be following the A's vote all day. Jim Rome is next. Bye-bye now.